Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
Come on, let's give him some praise. Come on, give the King some praise. Give the King some honor. Come on, Empower. Put those hands together. Put those hands together. Put those hands together. Come on, come on, come on. Won't you lift your hands to God? Come on, let's lift our hands. Father, I pray across this auditorium and everybody watching us online tonight. Father, as I see the people, Father, I pray in this night. Lord, I have an inclination in my heart. Father, I have the impression once again. Thank you, Jesus. But there was a sound that once ripped open the veil, that tore the Holy of Holies open then and forevermore. And it was the sound of our King. It was the sound of a Master's breath. It was the sound of Jesus, the one that made it all, the one that had all things in submission and subdued everything, the one that after He drank the cup, after He was pierced and broken, that He said, "Now and forevermore, it is finished." And at the sound of that sentence, there came an event. And Father, from that moment until this moment, I thank you, Father, that the heavens are open. And we can come to you, Heavenly Father, boldly to receive mercy, to receive grace in our time of need. Father, I pray in this night, baptize us afresh, baptize us anew with the power of God, with the love of God, that we will not leave this place the same way that we came. Why don't you put one hand over your heart and online as well, and just say to yourself, listen to me, heart. Listen to the word of the Lord and be free in this night. Come on, say, be free in this night. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, give me ears to hear, a heart to understand. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's give Jesus Christ again 30 seconds of praise. Come on. Oh, come on. Who of you came here tonight to have an encounter with Jesus? Amen. Me too. So let's get into the word of the Lord and let's get into the anointing. Amen. And wasn't worship absolutely? This team is getting better and 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 better. Won't you give God, just them and God, just the God bless you? And come on, they. No, come on, Empower, come on. Let's honor where honor is due. Romans 12:10, amen. Listen, I think, you know, I said to one of our team members during this week that, you know, this time of the year, we need almost calm down, but I don't feel like I want to calm down. I feel like I want to refire right now for that what, and we are refiring. Listen, we are in a move of God, I think so. Maybe it's too quick to call, but I think God is doing something unusual. I think it is now. I think God is going to do a restoration that we have never seen. I think God's going to move across the people of God. I think He's going to lift you up. Every time a standard is going to come in or a flood is going to come in, He's going to raise the standard again and again and again and again and again. And I believe that we are going to see one of the greatest outpourings of His Spirit that we have ever seen. And the awesome thing about that is we're living in a time chosen for now. Amen. Oh, come on. Who of you believe that you're chosen for now, for this season, for this moment? And so again, Just welcome to everybody online. Share the gospel. Get it out. I want to speak to you about the anointing tonight, but as I was standing here, God took me to Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 14. Or actually verse number 13. Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 13. Just keep my scripture of the other one that I gave you. I want to just go into this with Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 13. Are you guys ready? I want to keep the word short tonight because I want to get to the laying on of hands. I want to impart tonight. We want to prophesy. We want to get into all of that. And who of you know the anointing breaks the yoke? And the anointing is not the oil. It is not a dove. It is not the dew. Those are symbols of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is a person. And a person you can have a relationship with. Amen. And so in Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 13, the Bible says the following. And you being dead in your trespasses. Please note that. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all of your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed, having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And I want you to see this where the Bible says we were dead. The word dead there is the Greek word nekros, and it means as dead as can be. It means we had nothing going for us except we had a God that was in love with us. So the Bible says you were dead in your trespasses and sins, dead. Then Jesus says this, He took your sins and your handwritings that was against you and He nailed it to the cross. And then the Bible goes on, and I'm going to explain to you now why He did it. Verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. In other words, when you were guilty in New Testament times of anything, if you were a slave, if you have guilty, like most of you will have, for example, a ticket or whatever, if you were guilty, what they would have done is they would have placed you in a prison cell. And they would have written on the prison cell the handwriting of offenses that is against you. And unless somebody paid for those offenses, you could not come out. Are you with me? So there was literally, in every prison cell, there was a handwriting of the offenses, of the things that was done wrong. Are you with me? But now the Bible says Jesus took the handwriting of requirements that was against us. Oh, and He nailed it to the cross. In other words, every time your freedom gets negotiated, because you will have times and moments where the enemy would want to negotiate your freedom. And because forgiveness is instant, freedom is a lifestyle of learning to walk with God. Oh, can I say that again? Forgiveness is instant, but freedom is a lifestyle of walking with God. And every time Satan wants to negotiate your freedom, you have to point him to the finished work of the cross. In other words, you have to point him to that Jesus has finished. Oh, come on, are you with me? The cross is a permanent reminder of the ultimate defeat that the enemy had when Jesus hanged on that. In other words, you have to understand, now the scripture goes on and it says, and He, listen to this, this is powerful. Because if you can snatch it, say of me, snatch it. Having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. In other words, what He would have done is when a king would have conquered another king, that king would have taken all of the best of the previous kingdom, the best of the women, the best of the gold, the best of the silver, the best of everything. And then what He would have done, He would have stripped the army that He conquered butt naked. They would have had no weapons, no clothes on, nothing. And when the king would have walked into his palace, what would have happened is this: they would have taken the previous king's robe. They would have taken the previous king's robe. Listen, I get excited when I preach because every time I get new revelation. They would have taken the previous king's robe. They will pluck it off him. And they will take that robe and they will sew it onto the victorious king's robe. Are you with me? That is why at the foot of the cross, they fought for his clothes. Because whoever had the coat had the dominion over, or so thought about. Oh, can I go a little bit deeper here? Isaiah chapter number 6, verse number 1 says this: and the train of his robe fills the temple again and again and again. Now, you have to understand Isaiah chapter number 6, verse number 1. Because Isaiah chapter number 6, verse number 1 goes hand in hand of Romans chapter number 8, verse number 37, where the Bible calls you and I more than a conqueror. The word "more than a conqueror" is the Greek word hupernikos. The word huper means above and beyond. The word nikos means fighter. In other words, you're not an average fighter. You're an above and beyond fighter. And what happens is this. Every time, so how does this robe thing work? Every time you and I refuse to accept the status quo, because remember, we're speaking about the anointing. Every time we refuse to accept the status quo, that is why right now you have to refute and stand against the status quo. Oh. The status quo cannot be that we become lukewarm. The status quo cannot be that we become comfortable. The status quo cannot be that we do Christianity conveniently. No, no, no. We are not made like that. Just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean we need to. Yeah, amen. Come on, are you with me? And so you have to understand, the Bible says every time you and I don't give in, don't give up, what happens is this, that God literally, God takes of your victory and He takes that victory and He sews it onto the robe of Jesus. So that one day when Jesus comes into His temple and the king walks in, then His train, His kingly garment, will have victory upon victory upon victory upon victory upon victory. Because what the enemy thought, they thought what they did on the cross was final and fatal. No, they unleashed heaven. Listen, I'm here to tell you that sometimes the stuff that the enemy does to you is a setup for God to unleash heaven upon your life. Oh no. You have to understand there is a God that walks behind the scenes. There's a God that sees what you do. There's a God that works when you're silent. There's a God that comes onto the scene when we go through our highs and through our lows. I don't know if I'm talking to the right people tonight, but I have a God that's in love with me. I have a God that is passionate about me. Listen, He's so passionate about me that He said, "For whosoever will accept the offer of my Son, I'll save them. For God so loved the world that He whosoever would believe in Him." In other words, He gave Jesus with the full thought of the full manifestation that some would never give their lives to Him. Are you there? Say of me, the anointing. The anointing, the Greek word for the word anointing, and I don't want to say too much on it, is the word mashacho, the word that means to set apart, to consecrate for service. In other words, once you have the anointing upon you, you are set apart. You are different. You are peculiar. You stand out. The anointing makes you different. Are you there? But the anointing is not the oil. The anointing, it's a symbol, is the oil. Oh, come on, are you there? Jesus never spoke about the Holy Spirit as an it, or the dove, or the oil. He spoke to Him as a person. It is the third person of the Trinity. Are you there? Now, I found something very interesting. Now, I taught you extensively on this, and I don't feel I want to teach you too much on this, but what I do want to say this is that Jesus Christ is called the Great Shepherd. He is our shepherd. The Bible says the Lord is my shepherd. Are you there? And let me read for you Psalm 23, because I want you just to catch it. The Bible says the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. Not somebody else's shepherd. My shepherd. If you have not had a revelation that is your shepherd, then you'll want to define your own life through other people's experiences. But he is your shepherd. Let me read this. Save me the anointing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Why still waters? Because if it was running, the sheep would not drink. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I want you to see this. For His name's sake. It's not for my name's sake. It is for His name's sake. Come on, are you there? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now listen to this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life as I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You have to understand, goodness follows those that dwell in the house. In other words, the blessing of God is not for the outsiders. The blessing of God is for those that are in the house. I'm not talking about inside physically, and please, but I'm talking about God does not share His goodness with those that are not in the house. When Jesus was pressed, listen to me, the Bible says Jesus, His last hour, He spent that in Gethsemane. Now, the word geth is the word for press, and the word shemen is the word for oil. Are you there? So Jesus got crushed in the place called the oil press or the wine press. Why? Because in His crushing came the oil. Are you there? In His crushing came the oil that God the Father appoints on your head or places upon your head. Why does God anoint your head? Now, there's many reasons why He anoints your head, and I've shared it before, and I'll share just one or two segments of that. One of the reasons why He anoints your head is so that in the presence of your enemies can watch you, but they cannot draw near you. That does not mean that events will not happen. That does not mean that circumstances won't happen. No. That means that in the presence of your enemies. So what the shepherd would have done, very simple, out of his belt, he would have walked in between the adder's holes. He would have thrown out of his belt, the belt of truth. He would have thrown oil into the adder's holes wherever he went. And as he went, the adders got full of oil, or the snakes got full of oil. And now they couldn't come out of their holes because the DNA of their smooth skin started to operate against them. And so the sheep could start to graze while the enemies were present. But now the enemies got re-educated that the sheep that carry the anointing or the sheep that carry the oil cannot be touched. They can just be watched. Let me prophesy to you. The difference between those that will know God and they'll do great things for God are those that are full of the holy anointing of God in this hour. But I found something amazing as well when I was in Durban, and you know, we had a prophetic time there. And as I was there, you know, our location leaders Ruan said to me something, and I went to study this with the oil which you spoke about, and I found something in that that is extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. Where it speaks about that the shepherd would anoint the head of the sheep because, listen, because there was flies that would come and will take root or would want to come and nest in the sheep's nose. But that didn't amaze me. As I read that, something caught my attention. That the type of oil that they would have used for the flies was made of an ingredient that by the top amount or percentage of the mixture was made out of olive oil. And then I thought, but there was a person that was once crushed. And then I thought, and I'm going to take it now higher, because God showed me something here. When I read the word fly, I thought, wait, I have seen this word before in the Bible. And so I studied the word fly. And the Bible calls the devil Beelzebub, Lord of the flies. And for a fly to have its full cycle of giving birth, it needs 40 days. Jesus went into the wilderness for... Jesus waited for... Oh, are you getting what I'm saying here? So the oil was pressed once in the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, praise the Lord. And God the Father took that oil that was produced out of the Son of God, and He took that oil and He places it on His sheep's head, you and I. And now we can walk in the presence of the Lord of the flies. Ah, and Beelzebub cannot touch us. There's nothing. Oh, come on. He cannot come near you. He cannot come close to you, because our Lord, our Savior, oh, is somebody getting what I'm saying? There's no cycle, there's no pattern, there's nothing but no. Say of me, the enemy is defeated. No. Say it like you believe it. The enemy is defeated. Uh-huh. So Beelzebub cannot do anything. The cycles has been broken. And when I saw this, I shouted, because I've been teaching you as my people for months and months on end. I've been teaching you that the enemy attacks with a choice. A choice comes through a thought. A thought comes into the mind. Satan takes the road of the mind, Ephesians 6:10. Then he gives a thought, 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. When you meditate on that thought rises itself up and it becomes a high thing. Then I've taught you time and time again that a thought becomes a choice. A choice becomes a habit. A habit becomes a pattern. A pattern becomes a lifestyle. But when I read that, a pattern becomes a lifestyle, I said, my God, Jesus doesn't worry about thoughts. He doesn't worry about habits. He doesn't worry about choices. He goes in right for the kill when it comes to the devil. He breaks off the pattern. Oh, what does that mean? It means that Jesus breaks off. He breaks off the pattern. That means your freedom is instantaneous when it comes to Jesus. Oh, come on, give Jesus 30 seconds of praise. Come on. No, come on, you can do better than that. You can do better than that. Come on, don't give Jesus a golf clap. Give Jesus a victory clap. Give Jesus a victory clap. Give him a victory clap. Give him a victory clap tonight. You see, you have to understand. You have to understand that God is not interested in just moving something. He's interested in breaking the pattern. Oh, that got me crazy excited. Because I understood that God is not in this. He's not in this just, he doesn't just want to come for a thought. He doesn't just want to come for a small decision. When it comes to God, when it comes to you, He goes in for the kill. In other words, He doesn't discuss your freedom when it comes to the devil. Your breakthrough is 30 centimeters away. That's how far your breakthrough is from you. He that humbles himself before the Lord, your breakthrough is from year to year. That's how far your breakthrough is. And when the devil was thinking he's victorious, we have him. He's done. He's finished. No. No. You're wrong. I'm getting the keys back of death, hell, and the grave. Can you imagine? I'm a picture person. Maybe that's why I like pictures so much and shoes and whatever. Can you imagine? Yeah, all of hell celebrating. We got him. He's dead. He's done. And they're celebrating. And they mock. And suddenly, your Bible, by the way, is filled with a lot of suddenlies, therefores, and but gods. Suddenly, I can just imagine that. Heard the sound of footsteps coming down again. And the demons must have said, "Who's that?" And then suddenly, a light that they once knew penetrates the darkness. And Satan must have been flabbergasted. "How are you here? Only dead people can be here." "Exactly. My body is upstairs, but I'm here as the last Adam. I'm coming to get the keys of hell, Hades, and the grave." And he slipped his hand in on the left-hand side of the enemy's belt. He took out the keys of Hades, hell, and the grave. He took it. He opened up the gate of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Hezekiah, Jeremiah, David, all of them. And he said, "Listen, I'm the one. I'm the one. I'm the one that you have prophesied and prayed for." And then while the enemy watched, Jesus let his people out. Jesus loves to show off with you. How do I know? Simple. Have you ever noticed that when moms and dads send their children the first time to school when they're small, have you ever noticed that no parent send their kids for the first time to school without giving a crazy amount of attention and detail to their bags, to their shoes, to their clothes? And most of the time you'll see little guys running around with Nikes and Reeboks and Adidas Because the parents want to show, that's my kid. Who of you know what I'm talking about? It takes you about a year of parenting until you fully grasp the concept that your kid doesn't care whether it is Adidas or Pep Store. Shoes are shoes for them. But it matters to you. Why? For your name's sake. Because if he looks bad, who looks bad? If he doesn't have food at lunch, who looks bad? For his name's sake. And so I'm here to say to you tonight that it's for his name's sake, that it's for his name's sake that you have to advance, that you have to prosper, that you have to be different. He wants to bless you for his name's sake. He wants to heal you for his name's sake. He wants to increase you for his name's sake. It's not about you, it's about him. And if you can grasp that heaven wants to brag at your victories, you will never live one day ever again in a non-victorious state. Are you with me? I see sometimes in these days, and I'll say it like it is. Sometimes I see in these days, there is Christians with attitude. And I think to myself, dear Lord Jesus Christ, get over your attitude. We need to have one attitude. That is against the devil. I see people being critical of people. I see inner atmospheres of people's hearts that they are all touchy and feeling. I'm like, hey, people are going to hell and you want to be touchy? Get over yourself. Imagine this. Just for a moment, just imagine this. We bless Africa, guys, at Faith TV. Listen, you're such a great blessing to us. I just want to say that we love you, Faith TV, and thank you for the privilege again that we can partner with you across this continent and across Africa, broadcasting everywhere the gospel of Jesus. Amen. And we bless you as you go in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, let's just give you a God bless then. Listen to me. Can you imagine Jesus' hands on the cross? He sat with people for 3.5 years. He poured his life into them. When he needs them, they're gone. They're gone. They're gone. Not even close. They're running. They're running. He could have had an attitude, but he did not have one. Why? He did not come to condemn. He came to save. If Jesus condemned those that were at his feet, he could have never saved them in the future. You are not a Christian because you love your friends. You're a Christian for how you serve your enemies. Oh, come on. And so power comes when we understand, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Nothing happens without God, but with God, oh my dear Lord Jesus Christ, all things are possible. Come on, say that with me. All things are possible. Now again, all things are possible. And I'll say one last thing before I'm going to lay hands. I want you to understand this. The sheep now get anointed because the flies can't get where the anointing is. In other words, the cycle can't really start in the mind unless the Christian forgets who his maker is. So every pattern that the devil starts is because there's a lack of the anointing. So every thought that you must buy, that you're not good enough, or that you're not going to make it, or that whatever lie, it's because somewhere we forgot whose we were. Are you with me? And I'm not belittling. Listen, I know about real stuff. I know how it feels to be lonely. I know how it feels to be betrayed. I know all of this stuff. But I do know this, that there's something that is greater, that is living inside of me. And His name is the Holy Spirit. And my confidence lies in Him. Are you with me? Because man comes and man goes. We're made out of dust. But the word of the Lord will endure forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So I'm banking on His word. Oh, come on, are you there? There's a power that I believe that God wants to release in this hour, now, in this time, in this season. We are living in it. And if we can sharpen ourselves in this time, in this hour, if we can make our dull axes sharp again, and there's only one way. Can I tell you how? There's one way, and I'll close with this. Jesus gave us the secret many years ago. He said, go into all the world and preach. What gospel? This gospel. What gospel is that? The gospel that says, heal the sick, raise the dead, set the captives free, freely you have received, freely give. Okay? Listen, the secret comes in the word preach. And there's not something like a secret. I just use it for a hyperbole. The words preach is the Greek word kereso. And it means this. It means to put your ear against the king's bedroom chamber door and to listen in what happens in the inner room. And once you've heard Him speak, you can come out of boldness and you can say, He says. That's the word preach. The reason why there's a lot of preaching but not a lot of power is because people don't sit at the chamber. And so what they bring out is man-made. What they bring out is not king-birthed. Oh, come on. And so He only backs up His words. Are you there? Are you with me? Okay. Save me the anointing. The anointing sets you apart. The anointing makes you different. The anointing makes you unique. The anointing makes you peculiar. The anointing makes you a threat. The anointing makes you dangerous. The anointing makes you different than anybody else. And I've got news for you. As a belief, you have not been made to fit in. Everything about you need to stand out. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Are you there? If I have a salt pot here, the problem is this. Salt means nothing when we all huddle together. But if you shake a shaker of salt and it disperses, then it becomes powerful. It has the power to change. Oh, come on, are you there? Secondly, it has the power to preserve. And thirdly, it has the power to sustain. And so, what I want to do tonight is this. I want to anoint you. Because the anointing makes you different. It makes you stand out. It's true. And you can unlock over your life greater anointing Because anointing comes through dimensions and through levels. In other words, if you want a greater anointing, honor one that's above you. If you want the anointing, be ready for the tests. It's not cheap. It cannot be bought. It cannot be taught. It has to be caught. The anointing needs to be caught through the process of God. Oh, okay, I'm going to go in another way there now. I want to say this. Once you have been anointed, you cannot be disappointed. Amen and amen. So what I want to do tonight is I feel the Lord is saying to me that He wants to anoint people afresh. He wants to anoint people anew. He wants to get you to that place. We are different and peculiar. Oh, come on, are you there? Are you with me? Save me the anointing. Again, I say, God has taken the handwriting of requirements that was against us and He nailed it to the cross. And so that whenever the enemy sees the cross, he's reminded of his victory that was over him. Okay, do you catch what I'm saying? Come on, guys, are you with me? And so, this morning I spoke to you about breaking fetters and chains. Tonight, I'm telling you that the victory that Jesus wants to do in your life is permanent. I want to tell you a last thought, just a testimony. Many years ago, I don't know why I'm sharing this, but I'm sharing this as a testimony because there's people here, you'll need to make the choice. I was a 22-year-old or 20 whatever, somewhere there, 21, 22. And I had a deep call, deep in my life, deep in my heart, that I couldn't run away from. But I got in with friends. And I had my own life. I had my own plans. I had my own game plan. But deep down in my heart, wherever I went, I didn't fit in. I remember I was sitting in clubs. I don't fit in. I was sit with drinking parties, but I didn't fit in. I will sit in 2 o'clock in clubs and it will be booming and God will speak to me. What are you doing here? And I was like, I always remember I would phone my mom in the morning hours and say, stop praying. Because I can't go anywhere without God bothering me. And then there came a day in my life that I couldn't run away anymore. Call was too hard. But the problem was I had too much friends and the world already around me. And God said this to me. He said, break away now. He said, leave everything that is behind you. Leave your friends. Leave your plans. Leave your game plan. And in the future, I will bring everything back to you. And I left because I moved out of the house when I was 18. As an 18-year-old, I left. I did my own thing, worked and studied and all of that. 22, I came back into my parents' house, living under dad's rules again. And there I sat, called by God, had nothing going. But then I decided I'm going to chase after God Because this was my thought. If I catch him somewhere along the line, I can only fall back on what I knew, or God can come through for me. And so I started to chase God. I watched Jesse the Planter's videos like crazy, 6 hours a day. I was so hungry for God. I wanted to know everything I can. I studied the Bible. I stood up 3 o'clock in the morning. So I started to pray. I started to worship God wherever I went. I was hungry for God because I thought to myself, the Bible says, if a man chases after the Lord, God will not let that man chase after him, and that man shall not find his God. So I thought, I will just chase for a short while and I'll catch him. But then I found it doesn't work like that. I started to chase him for a long time. And then suddenly, what I want to say to you tonight, that's why I'm sharing the testimony. I believe there's people here tonight. You have to walk away. Because what he's got, what he has for you is better. Oh, come on. What he has for you is better. It's true. But you need to make the choice tonight. You need to make the choice for God. Are you there? You need to make the choice. You want to live your life with the oil that can wash off? Or do you want to live your life with the oil that cannot run dry? Because here's the big difference. Highs and lows come, but the call of the Lord stays the same. And through all of the things I've ever gone through in my life, I've never gone back to what people say. I've always gone back to that you say. Because it is the call of God upon your life that affirms the promise, the purpose, the position, the potential, and everything that there is. And there's a room full of people here tonight that you are called by God, and God is calling you in this hour to rise up. Oh, come on. So I want to pray tonight. I'm done because I need to lay hands and prophesy. If you cannot just understand the anointing, if you just want him, he's going to stay with you. But you must want him. Jesus likened the Holy Spirit like a dove. Why like a dove? Because if a dove comes and sits here on your shoulder, your whole life starts to become conscious of the dove. In other words, you can't sin with the dove on you. You can, but then you're not dove aware. Do you understand? If you know that you have a dove on your shoulder, your whole life is going to be different. Because then you can say easily, I can't be here. Why? I have a dove. I can't have sex outside of marriage. I have a dove. I can't not give God my best. I have the Spirit of the Lord. Sorry, I can't drink with you anymore. Not even one. Because I have a dove. Yeah, but you're religious. No. I'm not religious. I'm committed to my potential in Jesus. Take your price tag up. On Facebook and on Instagram, you get something called block. You know what I'm talking about? Block, or on my page, ban. ban. And I get that a lot. I just ban. Like, ban. In real life, you can't ban people. But what you can do, you can boundary people. So for real life, when you want to ban, put a boundary up. Say, sorry, my gift is too important to me. My call is too expensive. My oil is too much. I'm sorry. I have to go. I'm going to love you. And I love you. I'm your friend. Jesus was never defined by who he sat with. It's who he was defined by who he changed, who he sat with. So Jesus never sat with sinners and they stayed sinners. Jesus sat with sinners and sinners changed to become like Jesus. So don't tell me you can sit with sinners because Jesus sat with sinners. Jesus sat with sinners because he changed them. Yeah, come on. Let's give God 10 seconds of praise. Oh, come on. And so, I want us to respond tonight. I want to first go online and then we're going to do it in here. But you must want it. Are you there? You must want it. Are you still in love with him? Are you still in love with King Jesus? And so, repentance is not when we cry. Repentance is when we change. God doesn't want you to feel sorry. He wants you to change. Don't feel sorry. Don't say, God, I'm sorry. Change, rather. Change is the best apology for sin. Oh, come on. This morning I anointed pastors, amongst them Pastor Given, and this is my wish, that I will have the privilege, like I see tonight, so many people here and hundreds online, that we will see a generation filled with the power of God, filled with the holy anointing of God. People that are so good in what they do, that they don't fit in, that they stand out by the power of God that's upon their lives. That people will say, what is it that you have? And you can say, I am baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. But you're different. Yes, I am. I'm going to great places. I'm going to high places. I am different. I'm not average. Nothing about my life speaks normal. Come on. Are you there? Are you with me? Okay, I'll go on for hours. I have to stop. Time to change. Time to change. The anointing is here. Because he breaks chains. You need to let your potential loose. Some of you have been mocked. The devil has mocked your potential. But you have to choose to come free now. I had a pit bull called Yogi. And Yogi was 60 kilograms of muscle. And we had a lot of kids at our previous place where we stayed that would bump against the gate. And I warned the kids, I'm like, hey, if this dog jumps over, jullie gaan my fietsies ry. En vinnig. And there came a day that Yogi, they bumped the gate And there was so little bit of a gap. And he took the gap. And nothing happened to the children. But as Yogi got into his full potential, the kids ran at their full potential. And they found out how fast those BMXs can go. But some of your lives are like a yogi being mocked by little kids and saying, you can't do it. No, you're not good enough. No, you must dress like this. No, you must do things like that. Oh, but you're just single. Oh, but you're divorced. Oh, but you're broke. Oh, but you are depressed. Oh, but you are anxious. And you must say, just give me a gap. And I'm here to tell you that that gap was given to you 21 years ago when a man named Jesus Christ hanged on a cross and he said, it is finished. Now you need to push through the gap and let your yogi free. Oh, come on. I can preach just on that. Yeah, come on. And you will find out that submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee away from. Yeah, come on. Give Jesus a praise offering. Come on, don't give him a golf clap. Give him a proper praise offering.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.